Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipina-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking.
The second I got on board and the flight attendants saw the camera, they were like, you cannot take pictures. And long story short, I almost was like not even going to be able to stay on that flight because the flight attendant did not like that I was taking pictures. But you just have to familiarize yourself with the rules of the airline because some airlines just don't like you taking pictures on board. But I usually tell whoever the flight attendant is, I'm very excited, either like it's my first time flying this, or to like make up some story for why I'm taking pictures and just hope for the best.
Hello, travel hackers. You just heard a clip from Benji Stosky. Benji is a strategic travel reporter at The Points Guy. In today's episode, Benji walks us through how he convinced his mom to get their family into the points game since he was actually younger than 18 when he found out about this hobby. We also walk through his career journey of how he got started writing for TPG and other travel outlets while he was still in college, not majoring in journalism. And he walks us through some behind-the-scenes info on what it's like to report these travel stories from first-class cabins for one of the largest points and miles media outlets in the world. It is worth noting that all of the content expressed in this episode are just solely my and Benji's thoughts as individuals. Many points and miles platforms, including this podcast, make money through our fans using our credit card affiliate links. Please, please, please make sure that you never ever just Google a card and then apply from there. Always use a referral link from a friend or a content creator if possible. You might even get a better offer that way, so make sure you do your research before you sign up for a card. And if you would like to support this show when you sign up for your next card, please use the referral links in the show notes or go to geobreezetravel.com/cards when you apply for your next card. And now, on with the show. Hey, Benji, welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Hey, super excited to be here.
We are so excited to have you. We have so many interesting things to talk about today, from how you got started with points and miles and how you've made a career out of it. But before we jump into any of that, tell us how you got started. How did you even hear about this?
Yeah, so I started off, some background info. I'm 22 now. I started off really, I'd always loved traveling. And I was watching travel vloggers on YouTube and flight reviews and things like that. And then I was thinking to myself, I really want to start traveling more. Obviously, I was super young at the time, like maybe 15, 16, didn't really have the budget to travel much. So then I learned that I could do this with points and miles, and that inspired me to get into travel hacking. And obviously couldn't really sign up for credit cards myself at the time yet because of my age. I would get my mom to sign up for cards and sort of manage points for her. And then, yeah, the rest was history.
That's awesome. So what were you even searching for on YouTube that you came across these different points and miles bloggers? Were you just searching for generic travel videos?
Yeah, I would say generic like travel videos or certain reviews. And I did, for example, and he's not even a travel vlogger. I would like not necessarily, but for example, Casey Neistat, I remember he had one video where he did sort of talk about booking things with points. And then I think the points guy had a related video or suggested video. So I clicked on that and then I started learning from the points guy. And yeah.
Very cool. And then how did you approach your mom with this? Because most people very much struggle to get their significant other or their friends into travel hacking, where they're thinking, so you're crazy. I'm not going to open 15 credit cards so that I can go to Thailand for free. What is that speech like where you're saying, hey, mom, can you open these credit cards and add me as an authorized user? And then we're going to go on family vacation for free. How did you approach that conversation?
It definitely was not very easy, especially she didn't have like the best credit at the time, the best credit score. But we started off, I convinced her to get one credit card. I didn't ask her to sign up for a million at first. And we always grew up traveling a lot because I lived in Germany a bit and and then moved to Los Angeles. So we did a lot of flying, and we already were accumulating frequent flyer miles that way. So my mom was sort of familiar with miles. She, though, also growing up in Germany, wasn't really familiar with the US credit cards. But I showed her, I was like, look, we did all this with the frequent flyer miles. Imagine what we could do with credit card points, more flexibility. And then, yeah, so the first card was the Amex Gold. At the time, it was like the Premier Rewards Gold. And yeah, then I started redeeming the points for her. I was like, look, we just booked this trip for free. And then she sort of trusted me a bit more and felt more comfortable using credit cards.
Nice. And so it was just one credit card at first, start small, get a free trip, show a quick small win to say, we got this for free. And then from there on, was it dive super deep, or was it another step at a time, another one or two credit cards?
It was still like one at a time. And even now I would say that my mom still doesn't have like a million credit cards, even though like I personally am a big fan of auto pay and staying organized that way. She still likes getting the paper bills and doing them all paying each bill individually. So she still doesn't want a million credit cards just because she has to go through everything. And I'm like, look, you could sign up for these cards and just spend on it once a year, put it in a drawer and never touch it again. But yes, she still isn't a big fan of the idea of having too many cards. So I would say it was like a slower process, and then convincing her to like, let me be an authorized user and things like that. Definitely build trust over time.
She pays these manually with paper bills?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I always feel like this is one of the first cardinal rules of travel hacking, is set it on auto pay so that you never forget, so that it's always paid full statement balance at a time, or else you'll rack up interest. That the thought of this scares me, but I also have about 16 or 17 credit cards at this point, so there's no way I would be able to manage them with getting mail in the door.
Yeah, and the thing is, some of these cards too, especially I think American Express was doing this for a while, they would offer bonuses or statement credits if you switch to the paperless billing. And I couldn't convince her. And there were some where maybe she was like, okay, 1 month we could do this, but then switch back. But yeah, I don't know what it is. Like, that's the one thing I really cannot convince her to switch to.
Oh, that's too funny. So when did you start getting a bunch of your own credit cards? Was this just as soon as you turned 18, you started diving into travel hacking credit cards for yourself?
Yeah, so I think it was the day after I turned 18, I went into a branch actually at Chase to sign up for the Chase Freedom Unlimited. Unfortunately, did not get accepted. And this was actually some really valuable advice that the banker gave me. He said, look, open up a bank account with us, like do some checking or savings account, start building relationship with us. And like now Chase is pre-approving me for basically any credit card I want with them. But I do think that relationship with them made a difference, especially as a student with not much history. But I was definitely disappointed, especially because I was an authorized user on my mom's card. She was paying on time. I thought it was just going to be a piece of cake. I was like, oh, Chase Freedom Unlimited, no fee card. This should be easy. But I had to go with the Discover as my first card.
That's a pretty common first card. If you just don't have a lot of credit history and you just need to prove yourself to Chase, that's a really good tip. Opening up bank accounts, checking accounts, savings accounts, and then your chances of getting approved for all of these very lucrative cards will go up a little bit. All right. So let's talk about, how did you start going from, eventually you got approved for these cards. How did you then go into producing content related to travel hacking and using points and miles?
Yeah, so it was definitely an interesting transition because, first of all, I was still learning about travel hacking myself. And even now I'm saying I'm still learning. I feel like you can't be like a complete expert. Everyone's always constantly learning. But I start off as a fan of the points guy. As I said, that was one of the first, I found out about them through YouTube. That was one of the first YouTube videos I watched about travel hacking. And then at the time, the points guy was still very small. and I connected with some people on the team and then started freelancing for them. But when I started writing for them, it was like one of my first how to reuse amenities kits once you get home. So it wasn't like necessarily even writing about travel hacking at first. It was just more travel in general. But it was just the more I started learning about the travel hacking, or if I made a mistake, I was like, oh, this was a rookie mistake. Let me try writing about that so other people don't make that same mistake. So it just came over time, like through experiences. So yeah, whether I found an amazing deal and I want to share it with other people, I ended up writing about it, or if I made a mistake. And yeah.
So whenever you found out one of these deals or wanted to say, like, dear fellow truth seekers, do not make the same mistake with Points and Miles that I made, would you just do a write-up and then you email it to them? Or how does that work as a contributing writer?
Yeah, so at the time, it was a pretty, because it was such a small team, it was a pretty easy process. Just I emailed my editor, pitched the story, and then it was either like yes or no, and then I would write it up. And yeah, now, I mean, it's a bit different just because the Points has grown so much. We have this big full-time editorial team, so not anyone could really just email any story idea. Like, we do constantly check the tips emails and review pitches, but like now most content is written in-house. But yeah, at the time, I could just pitch any story basically and would either get it approved or denied.
Nice. And you did this when you were in college still?
Yeah. My first post for the Points guy went up the day I moved into my freshman dorm. So I started, yeah, like the summer right before college, I started.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it was definitely very fun. And I was one of the youngest people on the team.
Cool. And so you also mentioned that you had produced some content or managed some affiliates for these travel bloggers on YouTube as well. Is that correct?
Yeah. So before I was full-time with the Points guy, I was working for Kara and Nate. They're these YouTubers. They had this goal to travel. It was Nate, his goal to travel to 100 countries by the time he turns 30. They just hit that goal, I believe it was like last year, right before the pandemic and everything. So it was perfect timing. But yeah, so they were traveling around the world. I helped them get partnerships with certain travel companies. But also now they started monetizing their content a bit more and incorporating affiliate links, whether it be with a company like Airbnb or also credit card links.
How did you get into the business of pitching their brand to different brands and setting up those different types of collaborations? And had you already done that for yourself, or you just went in and said, I'm going to be your guys' agent now? Walk us through that process.
Yeah, I never really did that for myself. So again, it was like learning like as I was doing it. I think so. I first got this like job. They mentioned it in either like a email blast or in one of their videos. They said they're hiring. And I was very upfront with them. I was like, look, I don't really have like that much experience myself, but I sold myself in that like email to them. And I guess they were convinced and they trusted that I could sell them to other people. But it was really just selling the story. So Kara and Nate are this husband and wife. They were high school sweethearts. And if you watch their videos, you'll see like they're really genuine like people. They're not, they started this YouTube channel, it wasn't to get all these views or anything. It was more them going on this adventure and they wanted to document their experiences just for themselves. So they have those videos one day to watch again. And yeah, when I shared that story with people, they grew attached and were interested in Kara and Nate. So they agreed to like work with them.
That's awesome. And so you did this as kind of a side gig throughout college?
Yeah.
All of your college career?
Also, like during college, I was freelance writing for the Points guy and also a few other blogs and then doing this.
Those are way better side gigs than what most people have in college. Were you a journalism major then?
I was not. I was an economics major and then a communications minor.
What was your original plan for the economics major? Because I imagine that when you sat through freshman orientation, you did not think to yourself, I'm going to be a travel a travel hacking writer with the Points Guy, one of the bigger blogs out in the space. What was the original plan and how did you make the pivot?
Yeah, so it's actually super interesting. When I was in high school, I was DJing and doing that professionally and producing music. And then I was sort of interning for this record label on the business side of the music industry. And I didn't think that I would even go to travel. But when I went to school, I originally came in sort of thinking about a finance major and thinking, oh, maybe I'll end up on Wall Street doing something like that. So it went from music to sort of Wall Street. And then I always had this very entrepreneurial mindset, and taking the finance classes were pretty difficult for me at first. And as I started taking more economics classes, I just became a bit more interested in that. And I thought those classes were giving me better foundations for, it was like more rounded. So if I did want to eventually go and start my own company or something, the economics background I thought would prepare me a little bit better rather than just like finance. And then, yeah, like this allowed me to take some entrepreneurship classes and also the communications minor. And that the main reason I added the communications minor was also just whether it be like writing for the Points Guy or doing PR stuff for Kara and Nate. I just thought the combination of the communications with the econ major would be good for my future.
I know so many people when they're 18 freak out that they don't know what they're going to do in their lives. And I know pretty much none of my audience is 18 years old. But if anybody out there is thinking to yourself, I have no idea what I'm going to do with my life, just know you can pivot. There's so many different cool things that you can do in the world. So you DJed, you interned at a music production company, you set up affiliate links for vloggers, you freelance wrote for the Points Guy. And how did you turn all that into what is now your full-time career, which is strategic writer at the Points Guy?
So the past few years when I was still in college, I was interning at the Points Guy over the summer and working with the people on the team, like in the office, as opposed to just on my laptop in a dorm. I really became attached to the company and the brand. And I now we're part of Red Ventures, this bigger company, and we just announced that we're acquiring Lonely Planet. So they're really becoming this big voice in the travel industry. And I definitely knew that I wanted to do something in travel just because of the work I've been doing the past few years. So then the Points Guy just seemed like a good fit, like continuing where this all started for me.
And since you had been freelance writing for them already and interning for them, it was pretty easy to just convert that into a full-time
role. I was working with them all throughout college, so the transition was pretty smooth.
Nice. So tell us a little bit about what is that work experience like whenever you get to go on all of these cool travels for work, basically, where you get to review a nice airport or flight route or hotel. How does that work? Do you use your own points and miles? Do you just have an expense account so you can book whatever trip you want? And you're like, hey, Points Guy staff, I think, you know, I'm just going to go to the Maldives today. And they're like, expense not approved. How does this work logistically?
Yeah. So when I first started as a freelancer, that was more you go on your own trips, pay for your own things, and then potentially be able to like review a certain flight or hotel. And that was it. But now, being on working for them full time, there are some get to go on like work trips, and the Points Guy does pay for that. We do try to keep our reviews unbiased, so most flight and hotel reviews are paid for by the company. And there are now some partnerships we do with certain travel companies, and where there is like some free travel, but that would be like marked and like made very clear on the website that if it is sponsored content. But now it's a mix of either pitching certain trips myself and getting that approved or done, then also just being assigned certain trips. So for example, a couple months ago, I pitched this idea of a race to Miami. So it was me and two other TPG staffers. We flew from New York to Miami. One of us, I was very lucky. I got to fly on a private jet on the Blade One jet. Someone else flew Spirit, I think it was like to Fort Lauderdale. And then someone flew American, like JFK to Miami. And yeah, that got approved. And then we all compared the different ways you could get to Miami. And then we also stayed at like 3 different hotels. And that was a lot of fun. But there were also some trips, like there's a certain inaugural flight or something. Those are usually assigned. And sometimes last minute, there were certain flights. I was asked to go on certain trips sometimes hours before. And I, of course, said yes. But yeah, so it's a mix of being assigned and pitching your own ideas.
That's so cool. And what kinds of pitches tend to get approved? Because if you're saying, hey, I want to go on this ridiculously expensive trip to the middle of nowhere, we already have content on it, like what types of things will get you flagged where somebody will say this pitch is not approved?
Yeah, so you have to really know like what we already have and what we don't. So obviously, if you look at hotel reviews on the site, most of the time it's like almost all the time it's points hotels. So whether it's like Marriott, Hyatt, Hilton, IHG. And that way, if it is this super fancy hotel or not, that way the readers could book it easily with points. So that's why you don't really see us staying at that many independent properties. So that's one thing. But then also like for flights, we have reviews of standard like LA JFK coach flights, but it's more now focusing on the aircraft. So for example, United's new Dreamliner flying between Newark and LA with the true Polaris seats, we'd rather review that than an older plane with that either doesn't have lie flats or the older lie flat seats.
How do you convince the flight staff to let you get a lot of the cool photos that we see of just empty flight cabins or something? Do you get to go on the plane first, or do you get to stay afterwards when everybody's left? Do you have to flash a press badge? How does this
No, happen? So that's actually something I've had trouble with in the past, unless it is like an inaugural flight this is very rare that we let the airlines know if we're on the flight, but if it's like spoop or like an inaugural flight or something special, they'll usually know and will ask for permission to board early. But you just have to familiarize yourself with the rules of the airline, because some airlines just don't like you taking pictures on board. But I usually tell whoever the flight attendant is, I'm very excited, either like it's my first time flying this, or to like make up some story for why I'm taking pictures and just hope for the best. Really, as long as you're not getting disturbing other passengers, like getting them in the pictures or getting crew in the pictures, you should be fine. But yeah, ever since there are these airline videos, and for example, like if there's a fight on board or someone getting dragged off a plane, ever since these viral videos now, flight attendants are definitely, I would say, a bit scared of when they see cameras. So you have to make it clear that you're not there trying to start anything. Like you're just excited to fly and like tell them your intentions, like why you're taking those pictures.
Or you're very enthusiastic about watching somebody get dragged off a plane. How many times have you had to tell the staff, oh, this is my first time in first class, I'm just very excited, even if it's like your 10th time in first class?
Very often. And I do sometimes feel a bit awkward, because then I think, oh, like on their little tablets, flight attendants now could see like which passengers have status or not. And then I wonder, do they see like that the status and that they like they know I've flown before, like this isn't my first flight? So it's funny, but yeah, I would still never reveal like my cover. That it's sort of like a food critic, like you don't want to tell the people at the restaurant that you're there working and observing everything. But it's also sometimes awkward with a passenger next to you, like why are you taking pictures of this like airplane food, or why are you taking pictures of like the leg room on a seat? Like, but
I do this all the time, and I am not a reporter at all. I just like to photograph everything. But I guess people just think, like, look at me and they're like, oh yeah, that makes complete sense that this little girl is just like, oh, look at my airplane food. Oh, look at how my legs don't touch the seat in front of me, even though I'm in economy minus because I'm 5'1". So I fit in every airplane seat. I always feel like upgraded seats are
a bit wasted on my small frame, but nobody ever looks twice at me whenever I take photos of absolutely everything.
Yeah. Instagram. And I think the big thing is also now with like iPhone cameras so much better, you could just use that to take pictures and that's less suspicious. But for example, for the longest time ever, I had this really old phone and not a good camera. So I would use an actual camera to take pictures. And I think that got some more attention. But now if you're just using your phone to take pictures, people should hopefully know that you're just taking pictures like for personal use. And
I guess, yeah, that makes sense. I don't have a big fancy camera, but whenever you whip one of those out and then you're like, oh, I'm just going to take a picture of this seat with this giant telescoping lens that does look a little bit stranger on a tiny flight. All right. Speaking of all of these cool flights that you've been on, what is your favorite points and miles redemption that you've ever taken, whether for work or personal or anything else?
Yeah. So last year for 4th of July, so before the pandemic and everything, I didn't have any plans. And I was thinking about maybe, and I was in New York, so I was interning for the points guy, think of going somewhere like a little bit outside the city, like a little road trip. But I called a friend and we were trying to think what we should do. And we started thinking of some options of like flying somewhere. And he's also, this is like a little hack for all of you guys, get all your friends hooked on points and miles so that you could travel with them as well. So this friend I knew had points because I got him to sign up for these different cards and whatnot. But we were thinking about going maybe to the Caribbean. And then we thought, oh, maybe let's go to Europe. We eventually decided to go to Argentina and we booked that flight hours before. And there was like United Polaris award availability and there was a transfer bonus. I think I booked it like through Airplan and it was this amazing deal. I've never really been to South America before this, never flew the true United Polaris before this. So it was just a lot of fun and it was just so spontaneous. Like when I woke up that morning, I didn't know that I was going to be going to Argentina that night. So I had like nothing planned or anything. So like on the way to the airport, trying to do some research of like first of all, where should we stay? But then also like, what should we do? And it was just a lot of fun doing that, like all just like so spontaneous and like with a close friend and booking it all with points.
Do you remember how many points it took?
Oh, I think it was like around 50 something thousand each way for the business class. And I think One Direction I also booked because I had some Lufthansa miles and more miles. And I think One Direction I booked that, I don't know what it was, but what we did end up doing was for the hotel, we stayed at a Hilton and we booked like fifth night free. So that was a good deal.
Oh, that's always a good deal. With Hilton and Marriott does this too. If you book four nights on points, your fifth night is free. So it really super boosts the value that you get per redemption point once you can do that. Do you remember how much the flight would have cost if you paid for it? It would have
been thousands, especially booking like an international business class ticket on the day of departure. Yeah, it would have been, round trip, it could have been 7,000 or yeah. I mean, it's the closer to departure that you book, the higher the price. So
that's crazy. And I think you might have mentioned this already. Which points currency did you use in order to book this flight?
I think it was like Airplan One Direction and then Miles and More the other. Yeah, I'm not totally sure off the top of my head, but there was a transfer bonus. And then yeah, we were also looking for to like fly American back like for One Direction because then there was a British Airways transfer bonus. But yeah.
And what credit cards does somebody use in order to get this point?
So Airplan and like British Airways, those are great programs because they're part of like most transferable points programs. So like Airplan is part of American Express and we've also Capital One. And British Airways is partners with basically all the transferable points programs, including Chase. So yeah, those points transfer instantly in a 1-to-1 ratio. But if there's a transfer bonus, like when we are booking, you'll get a better deal.
Cool. So you can use pretty much any credit card as long as you're playing your cards right, puns, and then transfer it into British Airways or Aeroplan, and then be able to find these types of redemption awards. Was it purely out of luck that you were able to find two award tickets, or were you?
Yeah, so the business class cabin was pretty full and coach looked pretty empty. I do think part of it was like the, so it was like winter in South America. So like it was ours, like 4th of July here. So it was the low season. It wasn't very popular time to go to Argentina. And that also was one thing that we didn't really think through, like when we were booking the flights and packing. I wasn't thinking, oh, wow, we're going to go to winter, like going to winter weather when we booked that flight. But yeah, I think that was because it was a bit it was the off season. But we were also looking at certain places like in Europe where we could have booked it with points. And since it was so last minute, availability did open up. But yeah, if we were booking that further in advance, it's very possible that we wouldn't have found two seats on the same flight in business class.
Off-season award bookings, they're a winner. All right. And when you are writing articles for the points guide, do you have a specialty? Like, do you focus on writing for a particular thing or pretty much anything goes?
I mean, I've written about everything, all things like points, miles, credit cards, airlines, hotels, and whatnot. My main focus is points and miles, and then really just like maximization. Like, how do you get the most bang for your buck? It's like the best experience. So whether that be like booking through the right program or also just booking like the right aircraft. So when you're flying from, like we were talking about New York to Miami earlier, you could fly on an American 737, or if you're strategic and pick your flights wisely, you could fly on a 777, which has lie-flat seats in business class as opposed to the recliners, and that's usually the same price. So I try to find tricks like that. Or for example, I do try to find a lot of deals on like food delivery orders. So find promo codes for that. And yeah, whatever gets you for your buck.
What are some of your favorite sources for finding food delivery?
A lot of that. So it's a mix of either if anyone on the team is getting emails directly from these food delivery companies. Sometimes these offers are targeted, sometimes they're not, but we always test every code. Sometimes we get readers that email in tips. They'll email me and I'll test the code and see if it works. Sometimes we find it directly on the app or the site of the company. And sometimes the companies will send us the codes directly, or just on Twitter if someone else is sharing it, and if we like find it online somewhere.
Nice. And with all of the travel hacking knowledge that you have amassed through your freelancing gigs, from writing for the points guy, from just being surrounded by coworkers who live and breathe points and miles, what is your best one-line piece of advice for travel hackers?
I would say put as much of your spending on credit cards as possible, even if it's like a $2 or $3 transaction that only earns a couple points. Every point does add up. And then another thing, like whenever you're going out with people, always offer to pick up the tab and then like have your friends Venmo you so you could earn everyone's points. And yeah, put as much of that spending on your credit cards as possible. And of course, pay your bills on time. Don't spend more than you afford.
Absolutely. Great tips. And speaking of great tips, can you nominate a travel hacking friend who you'd like to give a shout out to that also gives really great travel hacking tips that other people should
Chris
go
Dong,
check out?
He's a fellow writer at The Points Guy, gives a lot of great tips. He focuses more on credit cards, but then also finds like great deals and shares those.
Cool. And we will put Chris's Instagram in the show notes as well. And where can we find you?
I'm at Benji Stosky, and we'll put the spelling in the description. But I'm on Twitter and Instagram, the most active on Instagram.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us here today, Benji. It has been fascinating getting to learn about some of the behind the scenes of what it's like to be a staff writer at one of the biggest points and miles blogs in the world. So Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards or other tools mentioned on today's call piqued your interest, please use the links in the show notes to apply or to learn more about any of the cards. Commissions earned from these signups help to support the podcast. Additionally, the single best travel hack I can recommend is finding friends who can show you about even more travel hacks, and it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast and share it with a friend. And if you would like to meet even more travel hacking friends, come join one of our travel hanging hangouts. We discuss behind-the-scenes tips, celebrate each other's wins, and mostly just enjoy being around other people who enjoy this hobby just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, just head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts and sign up to be on the invite list. See you there, take care, and happy travels!